This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We don't see color here. We just love America. Bill Martinez, live.
The world mourns for your dad, as I know you and the family do more deeply. Help us appreciate him from your perspective.
Well, I mean, there's nothing I can say that hasn't already been said. You know, my dad was not only the best fighter ever, but also such a great man, and there will never be anyone else like him. And I think that, you know, anywhere you go in the world, people recognize him, not only recognize him, but also love him because of the man that he is, because he stood up for his beliefs, he fought for those that couldn't speak up for themselves, and he'll truly be missed by all of us.
That confidence came from?
I think that's something that just naturally comes from within. And then people who are, first of all, you have to have confidence and believe in yourself, but then you have to work hard to prepare. And I always say my confidence comes from preparation. It's not something that you just go around saying, oh, I'm going to win, you know, just because. You actually go and you do the hard work when nobody's watching. All of his kids had the opportunity to come and be at his side when he passed on. I'm happy that we had the opportunity to be there with him.
To say that, yeah, and to say that do you think he was ready? Because they said, you know, I know the people that loved him weren't ready, but do you think that he was ready? He fought the battle of Parkinson's for so long.
I do understand the circle of life, and at some point we all have to pass away, and, you know, obviously, I'm sad. I'm going to miss my father, but I've been sad for a long time because my father's been struggling with Parkinson's for a long time, and he hasn't been, you know, himself for a long time. So I'm happy knowing that he's no longer struggling, and that's what gives me comfort. It's a part of life, and but yeah, obviously, we're all going through a lot, and we're all going to miss him very much.
Move like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Ah, rumble, young man, rumble.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, good morning, America. What a tribute there, huh? Of course, Layla Ali, who's been on with us several times, and her sentiments about her father. Just most incredible. You know, I think we all have, Scott, we all have Muhammad Ali stories. And I can tell you, I had a chance to meet him when I was a radio personality in Los Angeles back in the 70s at Kiss Radio. Bud Frillo was a sports talk host and did a show. And actually, his show was just right before mine, and that played every evening. And it was at a time when there was some question about Ali. I think when the Parkinson's started to come in, and you know, they were trying to figure out the medication, and he was at that point, you know, there was something wrong, and you weren't sure exactly because it wasn't noted and you know, publicized that he was suffering from Parkinson's. And you know, was obviously he was affected. It was starting, you know, in the very early stages of it. An incredible personality. And of course, when you met Ali, it was so funny. I mean, you know, that signature boxing stance. I mean, I can still see that to this day as we met in the hallway there at the radio station. You know, it was like an immediate deal. You know, it was just part of his signature. It was just really special, but also one of my favorite memories was in 1984. I was at the Olympics in Los Angeles, and I was in the boxing venue. You know, it's a three-ring boxing venue in the Olympics as it is. You know, pretty incredible. The place was packed, and all of a sudden you start hearing in a distance, Ali, Ali. people, you know, just the crowd, just the sound, Ali, Ali, building and building, until, you know, he just commanded that entire arena there. It was incredible until he sat down with Howard Cosell. What an experience.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I'll tell you, you know, it is those, you know, when you ponder about getting America back on track, it's easy to think that, you know, maybe it is about us. Maybe we do have the ability. I mean, we've been so blessed with this country. And the reason we've been so blessed is because, you know, I believe they're, you know, going back to our founding fathers who all admitted that it was by the hand of divine providence. And it will be by the hand of divine providence if once again this country gets back on track. Because here we are. We're in such a complex culture. The times are so complex. And you just wonder, you know, where is America today? You know, as I travel across the country, that is the look of fear and the question that I see in many people's faces. Those that are settled in their faith and confidence of God, not so fearful, but constantly in prayer and contemplation about what's going to happen with this country. What kind of country are we turning over, you know, to this next generation? Well, our next guest says that, you know, we need to ask the question that, in fact, it's the perfect title of this new book, Why We Must Demand Religious Clarity from Our Presidential Candidates. Stephen Mansfield is with us. Stephen, welcome back to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks, Stu. Great to be with you.
Hey, great to be back. Last time we were talking about what happened in the Middle East with the Iraqi Kurds in the age of ISIS. But today we have a rather pervasive and dangerous movement that has captured America and is leaving us, you know, less and less reliant and hopeful on God.
Well, there's just no question about it. And yet, you know, that's sort of the public face of what's going on. But surveys continue to show that I'm behind the scenes and sort of beneath the leadership level, the talking head level, that there's still a vibrant faith in America. There's still a vibrant belief in God. About 90% of Americans believe in God. And a recent Pew Forum study showed that about 60% of Americans want greater discussion of God and of religion during their presidential campaigns. So we have this feel of going secular while the majority of Americans are pulling the other way. It's a very odd time, but still hopeful.
Kind of interesting that it's been Christians now that have been put in the closet, right?
Oh, there's no question about it, and that's got to change. Not because we want to be bombastic or turn religious minorities into persecuted minorities, but because the lean, the drift, the trend has been very, very oppressive to basically the mainstream, which is just the garden variety Main Street Christian today. He or she is the one who's sort of, as you say, put in the closet.
Well, interesting, Stephen, that in another Pew by Gallup, this was done last year. And the indication was, you know, secular America was saying, hey, where are the Christians? We need the voice of Christianity. I said, well, you locked them up in the closet.
Exactly. You know, it really is interesting. So much good is done by churches and religious organizations just at a social level. If we're not even speaking about the religious or spiritual impact, but just at a social level, that if you shut down the churches, if you defund them, if you hem them in, cause them to shrink, etc., then you lose a lot in society, from education to social outreach. You know, I'm sitting in Nashville, Tennessee right now, one of my two homes, my other is Washington, D.C., and when we experienced a horrible flood some years ago, everyone from the president to the governor to the mayor said it was the churches that rescued this city. Federal aid was slow and halting, but churches got out and cleaned out homes and found new residences for people and helped the displaced and what have you. And so, if you shut down those churches, you lose a lot in society. And you're right, secular America has been saying on some subjects, where are the churches? Why aren't they making a difference? Well, yeah, right. Our response is you've been beating on them for 20 years. What do you expect? Yeah,
exactly. And, I got to tell you, Stephen, I had a chance to re-listen to a presentation from Dr. Adrian Rogers done back in the 90s. And, of course, he passed away a number of years ago. But to hear his presentation on leadership, you would think that he just did it today. Incredible. And just in terms of a biblical perspective and worldview on leadership and why it's so important to choose wisely and the kind of person that God would want as the leader of America, a leader of any country for that matter. He's very specific about the kind of leaders that he chooses what's available to the people if we only exercise our God-given privilege.
No, there's no question about it. You know, I've written a book on men, and so I end up doing a great deal of men speaking. And when people come to me, let's say secular people come to me and say, how can you adapt what you're talking about, for our campus or our organization? I'll say, guys, the only people who regularly budget for events for men that help men be better men and deal with this, reverse this downward spiral that Western masculinity is in, are churches. Our religious organizations. Who else is budgeting for specifically for helping men and helping men rise and helping men get out of the various statistical freefalls they're in? And they are shocked to hear that, but it's absolutely true. Name a secular organization that's budgeting annually for helping men be better men. And so pretty soon you realize that, some of these burdens are borne almost exclusively by the very organizations that secular America is trying to, would love to see shut down, and it would be a tremendous loss, obviously.
Of course, men, another category that's been closeted. When you consider the problems and the ills that we're dealing with this country today, it's because of the, some might say the feminization of our culture.
Well, there's no question we've had a feminization in our culture. At the same time, I'm an advocate for women, too. I don't think that women have taken anything from men that men haven't abandoned in the first place. And that's the real question. What's happened that's caused men to abandon so many arenas in our society? And by the way, as a result of that, why are boys doing so horribly? Boys are in decline by every statistical measurement, for example, in our educational system. They are in deep trouble. And when you add to that porn and other factors that, you and I didn't have to deal with as readily in our age, you really are in a crisis. Well, again, I want women to achieve everything they can achieve. This is not a pie of a certain size, and we're all just fighting for a percentage. Exactly. The pie can expand, but the fact is that men have abandoned the field, and boys are suffering from it most of all. So that can be reversed. But coming back to our issue about churches and religious institutions, we want a reversal of manhood in our society. Let me assure you that it's the institutions of faith that are funding that and are committed to that, not any of the secular organizations, as far as I can tell.
Exactly. And, to your point, just to, summarize this issue that boys are felt with. I mean, we had a guest on that did an incredible amount of research on the effect on certain things on young men, educationally. Women are out graduating men 2-1. Young men, endless hours, 7-8 hours a day in front of video devices that serve them no ill will, opening the door to pornography, all these other things that are just absolutely neutering them on many levels and rendering them less than what they should be. Without a doubt, I agree with you, Stephen, that there is a needed awakening for this gender for all good reasons, even good for women as well, that it's a win-win proposition, without a doubt.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable healthcare without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-BIBLE-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-BIBLE-11. That's 855-BIBLE-11.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
You think it's easy being him?
Everything can be fixed if you're willing to pay for it.
So, who's gonna be our super high roller?
Bill Martinez live. Who else?
Hey, it's my turn. Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here with you. Our conversation with Stephen Mansfield. Yes, the one, the only is with us. We're talking about his brand new book. Ask the question, why we must demand religious clarity from our presidential candidate. Stephen is a New York Times bestselling author of numerous popular books about the interplay of religion and culture. Stephen, for all intent purposes right now, though today is Super Tuesday, and it was announced last night, I guess AP ran the numbers and said Hillary has the numbers. Bernie's not going to be able to stop her, but she has the number count. I guess the only question is whether or not those super delegates who, you know, really can't officially declare themselves until convention time, if they are in fact going to stay with Hillary. But for all intents and purposes, Hillary and Donald Trump. So we know that part of the answer to the question of who's going to be our two primary candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. But in your book, Ask the Question, we talk about the importance of, you know, religious clarity. I mean, you've got Donald Trump, who says he's a Christian, can't quite vote his quote his favorite biblical verse, and a couple times when he's made reference, or at least on one other occasion, when he's made reference to the Bible, he's a bit awkward. But you know, this is what he says. We know that Hillary was raised a Methodist. But some of her choices in the way she takes a stand on religious issues makes you question, you know, to what biblical viewpoint she holds to.
Yes, I think it's going to be very interesting religiously in the general election here. We've all said Donald Trump, you know, clearly religion is not his native language. He sounds very clumsy when he tries to appeal to evangelicals and tries to claim a religious heritage. At the same time, Hillary Clinton is a very well-read, well-versed, and even articulate champion of her social gospel Methodism. Now, the reason I subtitled my book, you know, Why We Must Demand Religious Clarity, is that we've become used to, in American politics, a kind of a pious mush, sort of a religious veneer, symbolism, you know, God bless America at the end of speeches, and photos, video of candidates going to church on Sunday morning with a Bible under their arm. But we've got to begin to ask them for specifics. For example, Mrs. Clinton says she's a social gospel Methodist, but we need to understand a little bit more about where the ethical lines are in that. This is a woman whose husband signed the Defense of Marriage Act into law. She used to champion the Defense of Marriage Act with scripture verses. Now she's completely reversed herself on that and says that she has reversed herself based on her religious preferences, her understanding of her religion. So she's reversed herself on DOMA. She's reversed herself on same-sex marriage. And not long ago, she said that women get abortions based on their religious views. So it just makes perfect sense, and it's a natural obligation that the voters should say, ma'am, please draw a line between principles of your religion and your view on, for example, immigration, which she again has said is faith-based. I'm not just going after her. I'm saying we need to press all of these candidates because we've had some real surprises in office. We've had presidents do some very unusual things based on their religions. Barack Obama, for example, ran for office and said his religion dictated that marriage was between a man and a woman. Then in office, of course, reversed himself and cited the Sermon on the Mount as the reason. So my point is not to persecute any candidate religiously, but if they put their faith in play, if they say that their faith is at the basis of their policies and their politics, we as the voters, we as the press, have an obligation to understand what that faith is and how it shapes their policies.
Yeah, without a doubt. And evangelicals being such a huge part of the body politics, Stephen, I mean, it really is incumbent upon us to ask those tough questions, and they can be tough, you know, upon these candidates. But this is at the very heart of what... you know, what this is all about, and that is the character of the candidate. If character does count, although you wonder right now, because there's been some polling to give you some counter evidence to that, you know, particularly when it comes to Hillary Clinton, there was a recent poll that said 71% of Democrats would still vote for her if she was indicted. You know, so you wonder about where we are right now. And again, I think it's a cry from secular America saying, look, we need to have some sort of moral compass, and it's going to take some courage from the church. And, you know, though some walls of political correctness have been knocked down, it's still going to require some, you know, some courage of the voices of, you know, religious America to hold the ground on this in such a way that, you know, it helps everybody else out, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, there's no question. And you know, it's interesting, too. Secular America and the press in general tends to treat religion as though it's something untouchable, something unknowable, something that's, you know, other. But the fact is that when you're talking about the implications of a religion for the political sphere, we can be very reasonable. We can understand in a linear fashion the connections there. And so we don't want to invade the prayer lives of these candidates, and we don't want to make them be theologians, but we do want to understand what they're claiming about how their faith is a basis for policy. Mrs. Clinton, perhaps to her credit, is at least consistent in having religious footnotes for every policy that she holds. And if you look back over her speeches in the Senate, she constantly was quoting the ethics of Jesus, constantly quoting scripture, constantly quoting John Wesley, etc. This is what she'll do. Well, okay, let's understand that, because we need to understand that content before she takes office. Same thing with Mr. Trump. If he's faking it, if he's trying on some evangelical's clothing to try to appear to be an evangelical, we need to know that as well.
Exactly.
Again, the point's not to persecute, but the point is to understand.
Well, and as you say, point well taken here, Stephen, is that, you know, religious people, people of faith, do not necessarily have to be combative. I mean, by nature of our belief, there is contention. You know, Jesus said very clearly, look, hey, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They're not going to want to, you know, live to this higher ideal, this chosen ideal. And they're greatly threatened by that. I often say, if you want to clear a room, just say Jesus and watch people scatter. It's most incredible. But, you know, the very thing that they're calling out for, you know, we have, I say we, and that's evangelicals, the encouragement to pursue God with all their hearts and minds and souls.
No question about it, and that's I think a lot of the issue here is that we tend to either want a kind of a faux peace, or we just are too, we don't understand enough about various religions to understand their implications for politics. But we've got major decisions being made in the Oval Office. We've got major reversals of policy occurring on the basis of religion. And that's just something we can't allow to continue to happen without us at least asking questions about how this might be a possibility. You know, the way I say it humorously is that if I was running for president and I said, look, there's a guy who's going to influence everything I do. His name is Bob. I'm not going to introduce him to you until after I'm in office. I'm not going to tell you much about him. But just be assured he'll be influencing everything I do while I'm in the Oval Office. Well, people would just laugh at me. I mean, of course you're going to have to disclose any influence that would shape who you are while you're in office. But again, somehow when it comes to religion, we're perfectly happy to leave it murky and symbolic and unclear. But religion very definitely shapes the Obama administration and his policies, very definitely. It's just a very left-leaning, social gospel-oriented kind of religion. And the same thing is true of Hillary Clinton. We've got to understand these things before they take office.
Well, you know, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, as we've seen, I've said that experience defines preference, and we definitely have a lot of things that have been cleared up over the last 8 years. Whether it is Bob or somebody else, in both cases, both people have been greatly influenced by an individual, and some of that influence was hidden from us because, you know, the media just did not want to expose it.
I don't think the media often knows what questions to ask or how to get answers beyond just pious mush, and hopefully that'll change as well in the upcoming election.
Well, it's up to us, as you say, Stephen, and I appreciate the encouragement and the challenge to evangelicals is that, you know, we must ask the question, and I would encourage our audience, you need to read this book, Ask the Question, Why We Must Demand Religious Clarity from Our Presidential Candidates. This will encourage you in light of the political pressure that is on evangelicals to stay in the closet. It is an interesting paradox that we find ourselves in today, but if there's a future for America, a God-given future and God-realized future, it's going to be with the church and people of faith, men and women, getting out of the closet. Don't you agree, Stephen?
Absolutely. I think there's got to be an activism and a greater courage, no question.
Without a doubt. Stephen Mansfield, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Stephen. 29 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more coming up. Stay right where you are.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with home design and DIY experts Ben and Aaron Napier. With summer in full swing, now's the time to refresh outdoor space for hangouts. All too often, renovations and decorating can be intimidating. Here are some tips to tackle backyard projects.
We love spending summer nights with family and friends. And whether we're barbecuing or just relaxing, if the weather's good, we're on the porch. To get your summer ready, give the wood a fresh coat of weather-resistant paint and install string lights to keep the party going after the sun goes down.
I like to use perennial plants for a pop of color because they look just as good as annuals, but they last longer. And whenever we shop at wholesale clubs and grocery stores for our backyard projects, we use our Bank America Cash Rewards credit card, and we earn 2% cash back. Even better, we can also earn 3% cash back on gas for the first $2,500 and combine grocery, wholesale club, and gas purchases each quarter, and 1% on all other purchases.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
We are ready to take this country in a fundamentally new direction.
You have no idea what is upon us now.
What more could you want? Bill Martinez live.
Well, let me tell you. Yes, exactly. I mean, not to be greedy, but let's do this together, okay? I really appreciate Stephen Mansfield's perception, his perspective on this, and this new book asks the question. Good stuff there. Hopefully it blessed you and encouraged you to, speak truth. Speak the truth to power. And this, this information, this movement that has captured our country right now, that's taking us off track. That's why 7 out of 10 of us agree that we're on the wrong track. It is time for the new married lady to join us, the Good News Girl. She got married. Yes, she did. It's not Samantha Mills anymore. It's Samantha Mao. And she's here, and are you getting used to it? I mean, you even, in your signature, Mrs. Samantha Danielle Mao now, huh?
Yes. Well, it's getting a little bit hard to get used to having the same name or a different name after, over 30 years of having my old name, but it's pretty similar, and I don't know. I think it has a nice ring to it. I'm really enjoying.
Well, it's one less letter. One less letter for Mills to Mao. So you're still okay, and you still got the, the initials there. So as long as you don't have to change initials, it's all good. So hey, why not? Well, congratulations and thank you. I was just, Sam had sent over some pictures of the wedding. What a great day! It was just so cool. I mean, I was in Hawaii, so I missed the day, but I was there with you in spirit. You know that, right?
I do know that. I wish I could have shared just some ice cream cake with you, but
I know. Well, Scott, I mentioned you had some wedding cake for us, and Scott was all excited. I mean, he almost went into diabetic shock just at the mere suggestion of it all. But anyway,
yes, everybody loves cake.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Samantha Mills Mao is with us right now. And, you can go to our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Look for Sam's Corner. every week except for last week. In fact, bless her heart. I mean, here she just goes, well, that's okay. I can still do the show. Stop, you know, come on. Enjoy a little bit of your honeymoon here. It's tough enough already. You're married to a doctor, so the rest of your life is one emergency, you know, response after another. So enjoy the time while you can. So take a week off, and but only a week, you know. So that's all we give on this show is just a week, and you know that's just how gracious we are.
I miss you guys too much. That doesn't mean you'll be gone longer.
Hey, and I was thinking about you too because you know one of the stories that you broke early was the lady with the mask. With the Chewbacca mask, and this thing has just since gone absolutely viral. I mean, it's a hoot. Cole's got her whole family. You know, she had the one mask for the kids just to have a good time, and it's hysterical. I think it's becoming rather therapeutic for people. If you feel any sense of depression, they go to this video, and it just, you know, to just watch her, she's just so engaging, naturally gifted. You know, to really kind of lighten things up. I mean, and as I mentioned, Cole's heard that, you know, she only had the one mask. They came down and gave masks for each of the kids, the entire family. So they're a family of Chewbaccas now.
Did you hear that she's gotten like $420,000 worth of gifts since then, actually, after the whole video went viral? Isn't that crazy? $420,000. I think her kids had their college funds paid.
Exactly.
There.
Was it Southwestern University or something? I think here in Florida. Said, hey, we're covering the tab. Are you kidding me?
That's awesome. I mean,
who needs Bernie Sanders? Who needs Bernie Sanders? All you need is a Chewbacca mask and a mom. Oh
my God! I'm gonna have to do my own.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we can be into this for you know quite a bit here, but let's jump into this week's topics. John Oliver, which I remember reading this too, and I thought this was interesting. He buys and then forgives a $15 million medical debt. What's all that about?
Right. So this is actually 9,000 different people's medical debt, and he was actually doing it to show that there's. The medical debt, there's like a little bit of a problem with the system in the country. You know, it's really easy to buy. He didn't even need a license or anything. He just created a website and had a name on it. That's it. That's all the information they had. Paid $50 and got 9,000 different people's information and their medical debt, their social security. And he really just did it as an example. He paid pennies on the dollar. He paid like $60,000. For all this debt, but what he ended up doing was erasing all these people's debt and forgiving them. So instead of a regular debt collector getting this, then it was John Oliver, which is actually the biggest giveaway they've ever done on TV, I think, because they said the other biggest was Oprah giving away all the cards.
Yes.
And so he did this, and you know, they actually can't be sued for this debt anymore, but it's still being taken off the books, and a special company is handling it. So they won't face any other kind of penalties like with taxes or anything like that. So,
exactly.
You know, it's a good deed and it's kind of highlighting some problems that there could be with the system. So,
well, interesting. You know? Yeah, but I mean, speaking of tax implication, I'm sure Uncle Sam's probably going, wait a minute, you know, that's a gift. And, you know, but I'm sure they found a way to mitigate that as well.
That's right.
But you know that's part of the consideration. It's amazing. You know, you get a good deed like that. You get your medical debt canceled, and Uncle Sam says, hey, you owe us some tax on that.
Well, and you know what other thing they did is there's a website called Rest in Peace Medical Debt. It's like RIPMedicalDebt.org, and they were suggesting that other people could help pay off, you know, if we all kind of help each other pay off medical debt. But sometimes, you know, it's by no fault of their own, especially with that. You know, you can't help going to the hospital or, you know, what choice do you have is either live or get the help. And they were suggesting that people could go on and donate a small amount of money, and you could pay like $50 for $10,000 worth of medical debt. Really,
well, there are sharing medical companies like that do that offer that kind of deal where they all go in a pool and they contribute. And it's incredible what kind of medical debts are being handled and serviced by that. It's amazing. So there's several organizations across the country that do that. So this helps bring this to light. Let's talk about the heartwarming gesture at Chili's that is capturing a lot of attention here, Sam.
Well, this is a small gesture can go a really long way. A Kansas City police officer, Officer Rance Quinn, he said his job had become a lot more difficult because you know, he felt like people were mad at the police and people weren't appreciating them as much. And it was just kind of getting to him. And back in March, a young girl, a teenage girl, walked by the table while he and another officer were sitting there at Chili's. And she just put down a napkin and walked away. And it said, "Thank you for protecting us." And it really, you know, it kind of got the crowd around them actually motivated. Somebody ended up buying their meals, and then somebody else gave them a gift card. And, you know, they really kind of felt that love and appreciation from people instead of the hostility that a lot of police officers feel, especially in recent years. And, you know, they're trying to actually track down the girl who left the note because it's so powerful. He carries it around everywhere he goes now.
What a blessing.
And he said, "Don't ever change who you are." That just really, it motivated him and changed his day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, helped him keep going. So,
yeah, exactly.
Good for her. That's awesome.
Wow, that's great. Look, bless the officer, bless the rest of the people that were there as well. You got to know their day and maybe a part of their life has changed just because of that simple gesture. You know, out of the file, this is Big Boys Shouldn't Cry. Pay attention to this one. The guy's wife gets a little nervous when he walks in. He's upset. And then he shows her a letter.
Right. Specialist Christopher Garrett, he was shot and wounded when he was over in Afghanistan. And he's actually considered 100% combat disabled. And, you know, he's back here. And he goes out. He mows his lawn every week. And he has to push it, which is very painful for him. But, you know, he still does it. And, you know, so when he walked in and he's crying, his wife was completely prepared that somebody in their family had gone on to heaven. Mm-hmm. And he said, "No, it's something awesome." One of the neighbors anonymously had given him a riding lawnmower. And they said, "I hope this saves time for the things that matter most in your life. Thank you for your service and your freedom. Sincerely, a grateful American." And, you know, that was a very observant, very loving gesture. And, you know, it just shows that people, I mean, that was a very expensive John Deere tractor, too. This is not any, like, cheap.
Yes, exactly.
There are cheap riding lawnmowers, but this is a nice one.
Right, exactly. I saw it. It's it is really tricked out. And how cool is that? That is, and these stories and others are at Sam's Corner, BillMartinezLive.com. Just go there. And if you have a suggestion that you want to offer to Sam, by all means, you can contact her. The email real quick, Sam.
Okay, so samscorner.bml@gmail.com. So
well,
samscorner.bml@gmail.com.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At Bill Martinez Live, we have a healthy body blood sugar pack focusing on structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 855-305-8326. That's 855-305-8326.
This report is brought to you by Bristol Myers Squibb. Do you know someone whose life has been touched by cancer? With over 32 million patients worldwide, the impact of cancer can be felt in nearly every family. For the second year, actor Eric Stone Street is partnering with Bristol Myers Squibb on Ready, Raise, Rise to educate Americans about immuno-oncology, a rapidly evolving area of research that seeks to harness the body's own immune system to help fight cancer. Eric Stone Street, actor and cancer research activist.
Too many families like mine have been touched by cancer. That's why it's important for everyone to be informed about advancements in cancer research like immuno-oncology. Join me, raise, and share a flag at ReadyRaiseRise.com today. It takes just 30 seconds, and you can honor a loved one touched by cancer and help raise awareness for cancer research. For each flag raised and shared, a donation from Bristol Myers Squibb will be made to an advocacy group that you select.
Go to ReadyRaiseRise.com to raise and share your flag today. For more, visit ReadyRaiseRise.com.
Vaping enthusiasts, head to VaporPalace.com. Choose from over 150 flavors and a selection of exclusive private stock vapor liquid you won't find anywhere else. New flavors are added every month, and our customer service is unbeatable. VaporPalace.com offers 15% off all vapor liquid on Fridays and get 10% off every order with coupon code VAPOR10 at checkout. Combine the codes on Fridays for 25% off. The ultimate destination for the vaping enthusiast, VaporPalace.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, There's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the foods your family loves. And the best part is, the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat, even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. It's always good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. We got Stephen Moore with us. We're going to talk about his latest book, all about fracking and the big lies the left have been putting upon us. And, of course, you know, we don't want to engage in all these lies. We've been doing everything we can to bring you the truth. And this is why we appreciate Stephen coming on with us to talk about his latest book, Fueling Freedom, Exposing the Mad War on Energy. And Steve Moore, it is a mad war, isn't it?
Hi, Bill. It's good to be with you. And yeah, it is. You know, here we've got this amazing opportunity to become the energy dominant country of the world and start selling our energy rather than buying it from OPEC and Saudi Arabia and Iran and ISIS-backed countries. And yet, for some crazy reason, we have a Democratic Party and an environmental movement that says, you know, don't produce American energy. They want us to buy it from abroad. And it's a crazy policy. It's in my opinion, it's unpatriotic to be saying, you know, we're not going to create the millions of jobs we should be producing through oil and gas. And you've seen, by the way, Bill, what has happened to our coal industry under Barack Obama. Right. It is one of the most sinister things I've ever seen. It's not that the coal industry has gone out of business because of, you know, the market. It's because this was a deliberate policy of the Obama administration to put tens of thousands of coal miners out of business and destroy our domestic coal business. And by the way, my book, Fueling Freedom, one of the points we make is this country was built on coal.
Exactly.
So why would we want to, you know, put it out of business?
Well, this has been politically engineered. You're exactly right, Steve. And, you know, the big lie that fossil fuels, fracking, and clean coal are hurting our environment and our economy. I mean, it's just a flat-out lie. There's no evidence whatsoever to back up those statements. But this has been, you know, the lie that just won't go away because of the environmentalists and the media who want to be in the tank for this administration and be, as Ben Rhodes would say, the carrier of their PR.
You know, Bill, I think you know this, but a lot of Americans don't because the media has not reported it. But several months ago, the Obama administration's EPA, the Obama administration, came out with a report saying there have been no incidents of water contamination from fracking. None. Yeah. Zero.
Yes.
So, right. You know, these ideas that somehow we're, you know, going to all be drinking unhealthy water like Flint, Michigan if we frack is crazy. In fact, fracking, if you're someone who cares about global warming, and I'm not a big global warming guy, but if you are, then what the evidence is very clear. The more we frack, the more natural gas we get. The more natural gas we get, the less carbon we put in the atmosphere and the fewer greenhouse gases. So why aren't the environmentalists in favor of fracking and natural gas? They're against it.
Right. Well, they're picking and choosing the items of their agenda. If it fits their agenda, fine. If not, they're going to ignore the fact, even to the point that they're willing to hurt poor people with clean coal and inexpensive coal for this, I call it this Don Quixote windmill chasing event of environmentalism. And, what is it costing? I mean, who is it impacting and hurting most? The very people that they'll get in front of and say, you know, we're for the common man. We're for the poor guy. We want to give him a hand up. Oh, do you? But every time you come up with a regulation, you're just pulverizing them.
You know, that's a really good point you make, Bill, because I remember the time when the Democratic Party, you know, truly cared about working class Americans, and they cared about union workers, and they cared about, how to improve the jobs of Americans. Now all they care about is the rise of the ocean, and they're willing to sacrifice millions and millions of energy jobs, of manufacturing jobs. They're willing to put every American out of a job if it means, you know, that we can stop by a quarter inch the rise of the ocean. And by the way, even their policies, even if we put in place every policy that they are advocating, Bill, the Chinese and the Indians are building so many coal plants that all right. We're doing is putting Americans out of business and transferring coal production out of America to China and India, where the coal is much dirtier and worse for the environment. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, how does that work? Where America loses, China wins.
Yeah, well, but see, I wonder, and I'm not a conspiratorialist normally, but let me give you an example. The environmentalists were all in favor of natural gas a few years ago. They said, you know, natural gas is a bridge fuel, and, you know, it's a clean fuel. We should use more natural gas. And then we discovered through fracking that we had hundreds of years of natural gas. And so once it became cheap and abundant, guess what? Now they're against it. You know, they're against anything that works. I mean, think about this, Bill. Where do we get our electricity from? A lot of Americans don't even know the answer to this. They think it comes out of the wall. We get our electricity mostly from coal, natural gas, nuclear power, and some from hydropower, and a very, very tiny amount from wind and solar power. So think about it. They're against nuclear, right? They're against oil. They're against gas. They're against coal. They don't even like hydropower because they don't like dams. So anything that works to produce electricity, they're against.
Yeah. It's like you have to check your brains in or something to go along with this. I mean, you got to think that they're a lot smarter than this. I mean, how do you just resist what is common knowledge and buy into this doctrine that time and again proves unfruitful and very expensive? Look at all the money we've been spending on all, you know, whether it's wind energy or nuclear, solar. And what's our return? You and I have talked about this before, Steve. You know, what's our return on investment? You know, we should demand accountability and a return for all this money that we've invested, not to mention money, but also in, you know, by way of jobs and resources that this country has given up in the name of, this green energy deal.
Well, that's why what I was going to say was that I wonder if there's something else going on here. Maybe this is some kind of penance that we're supposed to. Because, look, modern-day environmentalism, the people who run these big multi-billion-dollar environmental groups, it is a religion, right? Climate change is a religion. Mm-hmm. It's not based on science, in fact. It's based on a religious faith. And I think a lot of them want to see America deindustrialized. They want us to go back and live like it was the Middle Ages. And think about this. If you wanted to shut down the American economy, Bill, what better way to do it than to go after our energy? Because energy, without energy, you can't produce anything, right?
Exactly. Yeah, when you look at, how we industrialized and what happened, it, you know, at the forefront of the development of, you know, modern day America was energy. And we've not only provided an incredible amount of economic power and thrust to this country, but to other countries that want to partner with us. And now we're abandoning what brought us to the dance for what? I mean, you know, if we're abandoning something because we've got somebody better to dance with, I'm okay with that. But I don't, you know, I'm not seeing anything that looks all that pretty.
Well, you know, I live in Virginia. Virginia's a coal-producing state. And it is really heartbreaking to see what Barack Obama and his radical environmentalists have done to these towns. I mean, they've been totally, you know, these are third and fourth generation, 100 years old, you know, coal towns that still produce a lot of coal. And Obama's regulators have come in and just shut them down. And where you have, now all you've got is unemployment lines and kids on meth. It's a really tragic thing to say. See, and these are the same people, you know, Hillary Clinton says, I care so much for the working class folks. She didn't care about the working class folks. She cares about Tom Steyer, the billionaire who's funding her campaign in the Democratic Party. She puts the billionaires ahead of the working class Americans who are going to lose their jobs. And you saw, by the way, Bill, what happened when Hillary went to West Virginia. Remember that?
I was just going to say she put her high heels in her throat, all the way down to her throat on that one. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, to your point, Steve, is that, you know, their policies continue. But, you know, the thing is that's the most amazing is that they're so arrogant and so self-assured by this theory that they're willing to talk out loud. I mean, you might say, oh, did I say that out loud? I thought I was just thinking that. I didn't think I really actually said that,
exactly.
You know.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think the Democrats, you know, when I talk to Democrats, you know, thoughtful Democrats, you know, they will tell me privately, not on the record. They'll say, Steve, our party is on the wrong side of the energy issue. You know, we've bet on the wrong horse. We're betting on windmills and solar paneling when we've got, you know, 500 years worth of coal. We've got 300 years worth of natural gas and 200 years worth of oil. We're not running out of this stuff. We're running into it. And so, look, the point of our book is, let's get this right. Let's use our energy resources. Let's become the energy dominant country in the world. Let's sell the stuff rather than buy it. Let's put, you know, Putin out of business. Let's put OPEC out of business. Let's put ISIS out of business by producing our own oil. I mean, it's just so obvious. So I think 90% of America, this is by the way, why I think Donald Trump is going to win a huge election, because these are, well, it's like my, you know, 13-year-old son would say, this is a, well, duh. You know, it's kind of obvious to do this. And,
exactly.
You know, we'll see what happens. But this energy issue, I can't think of one issue, that maybe there are a few, where the two parties are so diametrically opposed. I mean, Republicans produce the jobs and the resources and become energy efficient, and the Democrats say, let's use windmills. And by the way, windmills, they used windmills in the Middle Ages, folks, and there's a reason we stopped using windmills 300 years ago.
Exactly. And that's why I love Don Quixote. I just, you know, I'm just saying, I see Barack Obama dressed up as Don Quixote chasing windmills, and Hillary's his Sancho Pancho. What do you think?
Yeah. Maybe we should call the Hillary, Barack Obama, Bernie Sanders energy policy the Don Quixote energy policy.
Exactly. Well, Stephen, congratulations on the book that you and Kathleen have written, Fueling Freedom, Exposing the Mad War on Energy, available at all the usual places, right?
Yep, and, you know, I'm so pleased that you're allowing me to talk a little bit about this, because I do think it's one of the most important issues for our country going forward. And, you know, as I said, if we get this right, folks, we're talking a lot of jobs. We're talking about a lot of, and we're talking about jobs that pay $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year for truckers and welders and construction workers and engineers. Let's do it.
Amen. Stephen Moore, I'm Bill Martinez live. Thank you, Stephen.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At Bill Martinez Live, we should change Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. That's 855-305-8326.